Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. All right, now we're on. And don't forget about also accessing our podcast at KXORadio.com. This show and previous shows, and I think Mario had mentioned before that, they're all there. And whatever show, any topic you want, you can always scroll down. But we have a show today, and of course, I'm Maria Wyatt. Scott Dudley is away this week, so I will be the host. With the most. The hostess with the mostest. And we have Dominic Vallejo. He is a mental health rehab technician for CalWORKS. Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning to you. Thank you very much for having me.
So today, let's talk about it. What are we going to talk about?
I guess from the last I heard, we're just going to basically talk about just general experiences and life skills.
And right now you're doing a life skills class at CalWORKS, correct?
Yes, I am.
Give me a little bit of information, background on CalWORKS, because a lot of people might hear CalWORKS, what is it, and just basic.
Sure. What CalWORKS is exactly is it's for families that have children, and they're basically unemployed at this time, and they're basically looking for work. Mm-hmm. And this offers an opportunity for them to receive monetary aid, mm-hmm. Until they gain employment. However, they're needing to complete some certain activities in order to gain the aid. Mm-hmm. So it's not like back in the day where you could just sit around and collect the aid. Now mm-hmm. they're actually asking you to perform certain duties, do certain activities, participate in certain classes in order to be in good standing.
It used to be called like being on welfare, correct?
That yes. Was yeah, that was a famous terminology
the
back
welfare.
Then. Yeah,
now welfare. It's CalWORKS. CalWORKS.
Yeah, CalWORKS. And a lot of the participants are referring to it as aid mm-hmm. and no longer the welfare. But just due to the stigma, I believe it's got a lot of stigma behind it and a lot of still to this day.
So behavioral health is sure. working in collaboration with the Department of Social Services.
Yes, they are.
And providing CalWORKS. So what do we do there?
Well, one of the main things that we do there, behavioral health, that is we have a small unit that is there to serve the population that has been either, I guess you can say, unemployed or has been let go from any type of employment.
Which is right now very common.
Very common. Very, very common.
We have the highest unemployment rate.
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of the things that a lot of people aren't aware of is that the unemployment rate, a lot of people believe that, well, you know, a lot of people are just being fired. But this doesn't really seem to be the case right now. We have a lot of really, really well-educated people that have master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, associate's degrees, and they are being let go from work as well.
I just heard on the radio going home last night about that people graduating right now from four-year colleges, their wages are much lower than 10 years ago. So somebody, you know, if they're lucky enough to get a job right out of four-year college, they're earning less than what their counterpart did 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also.
But they did emphasize that the best way for you to succeed is to get an education.
Yes.
So, but again, you know, you come out of the way it's looking right now, and then the newspaper today, IBC, the cuts, you know, IBC is supposed to be a two-year college. You know, some people make it into a four-year mm-hmm. to get an associate's. And then if you go to college, you come out with lots of debt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's tough out there.
Yes, and that's one of the good things that I've noticed about the CalWORKS program is that they actually help the participants that need education. They help basically refer them to whatever type of education they want to obtain. So whether it be somebody that has never completed their GED, but just went into maybe a customer service field job, what they're actually being able to do is sit them down and actually assess where they are at this point in time in their life and seeing what they need, what they want, what their goals are at this point in time, and being able to help them out and fulfill those goals, which is great. I think it's, but then again, we're looking at the IVC situation, and it's from what I'm understanding, it's a pretty hard task to get themselves basically a chair.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
classes are filled. You know, there's not a lot of teachers, not a lot of professors, and your choices are limited.
Yes.
What Mario was talking about, you know, he has to wait 2 semesters to get one class to graduate because they only offer it every 2 semesters or every other semester. So
yes, yeah, or it's not coinciding for your time. It's you know, we have parents, like I said, a lot of the participants or all of the participants that are attending the CalWORKS, they are parents, so they have to look for somebody to take care of their children. And sometimes, you know, the CalWORKS does offer opportunities as well to do that.
For childcare.
Childcare, yeah.
So what is your role at CalWORKS with behavioral health?
Wow. what my role is that I work, I'm still under the MHRT classification, mm-hmm. NMHRT,
rehab
tech. However, I've been given the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege to be, they call me an instructor, but I really don't think I'm an instructor, but, I'm basically, helping participants in the life skills class. Instructor of life, I'm not.
Do they call you teacher?
Yes, they do. I get that all the time. It's instructor, you know, mm-hmm. in Spanish and English, and teacher and mister, and that's fine. It's out of respect, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, those are, you know, commonly used in schools, but however, you know, it's a label that it is that is a privileged one. However, like I said earlier, a master at life, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to provide knowledge that I do have with other mm-hmm. people.
Life, and so you're teaching the life skills class.
Yes.
You know, I've heard a lot of agencies offer life skill classes, and for me, life skill class, what does it mean? What is it? I mean, life skill. You know, is it how to do your daily activities? I don't know. What is life skills? And that's why you're here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a really good question. Very well.
Because it seems so general. It sounds good and it sounds so general, but what really is it? I mean, what is it that you do? What is it that you teach?
And that's a really, really good question. A lot of the participants exactly walk into the class wondering,
what are you going to teach me?
Yeah.
I mean,
what does this have to do with me finding a job? And one of the things that really has to be stressed from the very beginning when instructing life skills is letting people know that you're not there to basically tell a person how to live, but you're there to offer different options. And life skills, what it basically does is it lets people know that there's a different alternative of about managing life in itself. For instance, one of the very first day is and throughout the whole week is about building support, friends. It's about educating. It's about saying, hey, you know what? There's a different alternative out there other than living the only way you know. In the very first day, what we cover is the ground rules for the classroom in itself.
How many sessions are there?
It's a 1 week.
A 1 week?
Yes.
Okay.
So I get a group of participants. I get an attendance log, and it's a 1 week class. Excuse me. And what it is it's a 1 week class, and it gives me 1 week to kind of gain the rapport with these individuals, and gain their trust, and especially when you're talking about their life, mm-hmm. or you're asking them to share something about their life with you. However, when we get into the class, the first week is basically what's covered during the first week is the stages of change, what exactly depression really is, the different types of anxiety, such as generalized anxiety, post-traumatic stress, social anxiety.
And what does that have to do with the life skills? Why are you going over all those different mental health diagnoses?
Sure. A lot of the reasons why I'm covering those areas with the participants is because, you know, when you sit down and you talk with a lot of the participants, they say, you know what, it took me a really long time to make this decision, to actually really come in and sign those papers and say I'm going to collect aid. It's a very difficult situation. A lot of men, from what I've heard, it's very difficult for them to basically say, as a provider, I'm no longer able to provide. So I've got to go into somewhere and ask for somebody to give me money.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they're not doing anything for the money. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have been laid off of jobs.
And that's very something different from people looking from the outside in, is mm-hmm. that they have this perception that, you know, a lot of people that are getting aid are just lazy and they don't want to work. And you're telling me no. A lot of the men feel very, you know, like defeated. Just their self-esteem is probably very low. They're
yes.
no longer able to provide.
Yes.
And maybe that's why your depression might be.
Exactly, exactly. And that's when we get into, you know, basically the depression, and we talk about, you know, the worthlessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, are you a really worthless person, or the hopelessness due to the situation? I mean, living in this valley, I mean, we all know what the percentage rate of the unemployment is here. And people have a really high tendency of feeling very, very hopeless about the situation here. And being able to basically provide them the correct information based off of, okay, this is what sadness is, and this is what depression is. Now, a lot of people very freely throw around the word, you're depressed, you know, oh, you're so depressed, you know. And in actuality, when somebody gets told that they're depressed, it's like, you're telling me I'm crazy. You know, and it really has nothing to do with being crazy. It's a combination of things that go on, and a lot of the times when a participant comes in, they have family members at home, and being able to have the information and to understand what exactly is going on, it's very valuable information to them to go home and to really kind of be able to help family members out as well, that are going through this situation with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand that, you know, family units in themselves, if we have one person that's very upset, it affects everybody all the way around. But it's also very, very almost rest assured, easing feeling that, oh, so what you're telling me is that there's a name that goes along with the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actual people out there that help people and that really do care about people that are going through that.
So what you're doing is also doing the stigma, the reduction of stigma.
Exactly.
Associated with depression and mental illness.
Exactly. Exactly.
And especially, you know, in the Hispanic culture, you know, my relatives in Mexicali, they go, oh, you know, you work at the crazy place.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just everybody that goes to there is crazy. But that's
sure.
That's a label, that's a stigma, that is information. They just needed the information.
Sure. And even if they do not find themselves in the particular situation of feeling hopeless or worthless, My whole goal is just hoping that they get the information out there, basically, you know, become educated based off of, you know what, people walk around and sometimes they may not be in the best mood. They may not feel so great. You may have your aunt that may be laying in bed for 3 days straight and hasn't done anything with her self-care. However, it's not because they're lazy. It's not because they didn't want to fix themselves. It's because there's something really going on other than a person being lazy or just wanting to sit there and collect.
Do you ever get, you know, at the end of the class, you know, somebody raised their hand and come to you, you know what, I've been feeling exactly like you've been, you know, you explained it to me. What do they do?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I've had participants come up to me and say, you know what, you described me to a T. That's me. And at that point, it's very heartbreaking. You know, it's very heartbreaking for one and for another. It's, you know, you have to properly channel them to the right assistance. Mm-hmm. Also explaining to them that you can feel a certain way, but if it's really not affecting anything, basically overall life mm-hmm. in general, then there's some simple things that you can gather from this life skills class and practice, such as, you know, the relaxation techniques, your thought monitoring log, doing the ABC model, doing your cost-benefit analysis, problem-solving techniques, mm-hmm. Building communication, how to communicate your feelings to other people, and being able to do those, and that's what I basically provide them with. And I always...
So you give them tools. You teach them tools how to be able to manage their life.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And
which that can apply to anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
All of us.
Exactly. Yeah.
We need all the tools we can get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, and everybody, I mean, you don't need to be a depressed person to be able to do problem solving. You don't need to have high anxiety levels to do problem solving.
We can always do cost-benefit analysis.
Exactly.
Is it a want or a need?
Yes. Or, you know, a lot of people, sometimes they find themselves faced with a situation. Is moving out of the valley an option? Well, you know what? Why don't you do a cost-benefit analysis based off of that?
Mm-hmm.
And see what exactly your thoughts are. Put them down on paper so you can actually see what's going on. Discuss your thoughts with your family. Let them understand where you're coming from, your point of view. And we do actually do a lot of work on perspectives. You know, each person sees something very differently. The whole unemployed situation, a lot of people see it differently. But does that mean that they need to see it your way? Maybe not. I may see a person possibly that may not say that they're depressed, but may display certain characteristics. However, I kind of leave it up to them.
Mm-hmm.
I leave it up to them to basically say, hey, you know what, Dominic, that's me, mm-hmm. you know, because I found that when you come up to a person and you say, hey, you know what, is everything really going okay? They tend to throw up the pre-contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the pre-contemplation comes up and said, there's nothing wrong with me.
And what is pre-contemplation?
Pre-contemplation, there's a couple of stages that they consider to be stages of change. And the pre-contemplation phase is basically a person that doesn't identify themselves with
a problem.
A problem, yeah. So they can often find themselves, other people coming up to them and saying, hey, you know what? You've been acting a certain way for quite some time, and I've noticed it, but I'm kind of worried about you. You know, I was wondering if you would like to come and talk to maybe my counselor or somebody that I know. And they turn around and they say, there's nothing wrong with me. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I basically try to avoid is get in the confrontation, mm-hmm. basically.
So they can put up that wall up right away.
Exactly. Yeah. The other stage of the change is contemplation.
And I think what we'll do, mm-hmm. we've been talking to Dominic Vallejo. He is a mental health rehab technician for the CalWORKS program, well, Works for Behavioral Health. They're co-located at the CalWORKS, at Department of Social Services. And we'll be right back after a short break.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You are still listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And today we're talking to Dominic Vallejo. He is a mental health rehab technician for Imperial County Behavioral Health and is currently working at CalWORKS, which is at Department of Social Services.
Yes.
And teaching the life skills.
Yes.
And he's going to teach us life skills here. You explained it, and we were going over the stages of change.
Sure, sure. The last stage that we were talking about was a contemplation phase. The contemplation phase, basically what it is that a person would think that, well, if they acknowledge it, they're ready to change it. However, the contemplation, basically what it means is that a person is thinking about it. They might think about it for a little bit.
They might be hesitant, not sure.
Sure, sure. There's going to be some resistance. There's going to be some, hey, what I've been doing isn't wrong. Or there might be some, hey, you know what? Maybe there might be something going on here. But there's no commitment to change, though. After they do what I've spoken about, the cost benefit analysis, they see if basically if the behavior is conducive, if it's something good for them, or if it's something that that they should ultimately change for a new behavior. The next stage that they would probably go into after the contemplation is preparation, and the preparation, basically it's saying, you know what. So what do I need to do in order to change this behavior? Do I need to leave old friends? Which friends do I need to leave behind? Or what do I need to do in order possibly for the job market situation going on? What would I need to do to prepare to kind of leave the valley if I wanted to relocate? And that phase
it's kind of like you're planning it, right? You're
yes.
doing the preparation, you're planning, you're setting things in motion.
Sure, sure. And you're setting things in motion and you're planning things out. And the one thing that really kind of just gets not understood too well is that the preparation phase, during the middle of that phase, it can be a real critical moment. Because this is going to be where everything is planned out, where everything is thought through really thoroughly. And obviously this person is at a point in time where they're now realizing that, you know what, there is definite need and some change. However, the person can really quickly go back to pre-contemplation or contemplation.
Because it might be too hard. It might realize, you know what, it's just too hard in the planning and getting ready and putting things in motion. They might have a setback or
sure.
just, you know what, no.
Sure. I mean,
I'm not going to go through this.
Yeah, exactly. It could be like as simple as possibly a person thinking about moving out of the valley, for instance, moving out of state because they heard that there was more employment opportunities. So they sit down and they start really thinking about it, and they say, well, you know what, but what about my family? You know, relocation, no family, really no support, forget it. I'm not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody else may say, hey, well, I thought you were moving. Nope, I'm not. Nope, it's out of the question. You know, and they jump right back into the pre-contemplation about moving out. The next stage is after this person has planned things out, and what they've planned out to actually act upon what they've planned out. And the next phase is action, of course. Mm. And this action is basically, you know what, I'm going to act upon what I planned. And if there's anything that happens along the way, I've prepared how to deal with that situation. So if it's that, you know what, I may have to relocate, and I am going to relocate. But in order to deal with the loneliness, in order to deal with the away from family issues,
I'm going to have Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I'm going to have Facebook. I'm going to have the phone. I'm going to have my cell phone. I'm going to, you know, it's not going to cost me much to really have good, meaningful conversations with family members. And now they even have Skype. You know, mm-hmm. I have a cousin, as a matter of fact, that that her boyfriend moved to, I believe it was to Iran or Iraq, mm-hmm. or somewhere around there, and they Skype every once in a while. So they get on the computer, they see each other's face, they have a little conversation, and then it's over. And then, you know, they seem mm-hmm. pretty much pleasured by that for the meanwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, they have a lot of other alternatives to do. So that's what basically this person would be planning out during that time, planning for that and acting upon it once it comes to that situation. The next phase would be maintenance. And the maintenance phase would be just keep doing what you're doing. Don't veer off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, because everything, especially when it comes down to behavior is just so easily, since you've repeated it so many times, it's so comfortable just to go back to what you know. It's so comfortable just to go back to where you lived and to be around the family. And it's so hard to do something new. After the maintenance, some acknowledge this phase, some do not, but they say that there's another stage that's included in it, and they say there's a relapse phase. And what that means is that basically the person just went back to what they know. And just kind of just went back to just feeling comfortable mm-hmm. again. One of the main reasons why I kind of discuss this stuff with the class is because I want them to basically get the understanding that throughout this class, you're going to be showed many different things, different techniques, maybe things that you've never done before, maybe things you've never heard of before. But be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. And understand that changing is a process. It's not something that many people will do. It's not something that many people will not do.
And this can go, can apply to anyone, the stages of change.
Yes.
You know, losing weight.
Yes.
You know, you might have, somebody might be in the preacher contemplative phase that, you know, I don't have a problem with the weight. But then, you know, okay, maybe I do. Maybe
sure.
I do, you know, because of something, health reason or some, you know, maybe I do. And then just making changes, starting planning, you know, this is what I need to do. This is, and just, you know, the planning, the preparedness, and then the action, and then maintenance.
Sure, yeah.
And what happens that, you know, and the relapse, what happens if you go to a party and there's lots of cakes and, you know.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know. And
you relapse.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, this can be applied to many things. Just
sure.
going back to school.
Sure.
You know, and getting a different type of, you know, the way the job market is. Maybe what you always did is not available. Now you need to do completely something different.
Yes, exactly. And then again too, you know, it kind of in the same tone, it kind of just says, you know what, don't try not to feel hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
Try to understand that there is a process to everything, and things just don't happen at the blink of an eye. You know, even the common things that you do till this day are things that you've practiced over and over and over and over and over again, repetitively.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't do it, it seems like, well, I'm missing something. You know, what didn't I do? What didn't I say? Or wasn't I supposed to feed the dog this morning before I left the house?
I did. All five of them.
Yeah, yeah. Got to feed the guinea pig myself. But, you know, I mean, I found myself, too. I had a fish for a little bit, and I was feeding them every day before I left in the morning, and then the fish, ultimately, you know, they have a life cycle, and they passed on, and I found myself, I was supposed to feed the fish.
There's no fish.
Yeah, there's no fish. You know, there's no fish at all to feed. So, you know, then again, going into that stages of change and how hard it is sometimes to really kind of stay on track. Oftentimes, it's really good to have a support system. But oftentimes, people are kind of weary about having support systems because a lot of the support that they receive is in the manner of, you didn't do this today. Remember, you said you were going to do it, and you messed up, and it's like, you know, so yeah, the person's automatically going to say, you know what, forget it, you know, I'm out of here. Yeah. This is gone. This is done. You know,
nagging. What other words? The nagging.
Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes,
I don't,
you know,
do that.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes, you know, we forget sometimes that really part of friendship and support is really just listening to a person and finding out where they're at, what they want to do, and what have they thought about doing, how to get there.
What about, you mentioned tools.
Sure.
Can you mention a couple, explain some of the tools that can be used, that you use, you teach in these life skills classes, but also can be useful for everyday use for everyone?
Sure. I mean, a lot of these things can be talked about, and people can do them, and they're relatively easy. Like I said in the beginning, they seem kind of weird and awkward, but nonetheless, not everything works for everybody. But one of the tools that I was discussing was one problem-solving sheet that basically is a really relatively easy one to do, is just your simple pros and cons list. You sit down, you grab a piece of paper, you write down on one side your pros, and you can label it however you is easiest for you. It doesn't have to be the word pro. It could be good. It could be the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then on your other side, you just write the disadvantages.
Or the bad.
The bad.
Or the cons.
The cons, yeah, exactly. And what you want to do is you just list at the top of your paper what exactly it is that you are kind of wanting to analyze. So, for instance, if you are wanting to be on a diet, for instance, well, what are the good things about being on a diet? What are the bad things about being on a diet? The one thing that I kind of really, really kind of throw in there to the individuals, the participants that are receiving the classes, always try to do these problem-solving techniques on your own. Do not look for other people's ideas, because if there are other people's ideas, they're not your ideas, and it's very easy for you to say, well, you know what, I never even thought of that. That's not the reason why I'm doing this. You know, so you really want to sit down, and you really want to do this activity on your own, and find out what are your reasons. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And if you're kind of doubting what you think, sure. I mean, find a trusted friend or someone that you feel is supportive and maybe not on one side or the other, just basically in the middle. And ask them, hey, you know what, is what I'm writing here, does it really sound logical to you? Does it really sound? The other form is a cost-benefit analysis. And this is a little bit more of a...
I use that all the time.
Yeah. Me, myself, too, all the time. What it basically is that a person sits down and they say, okay, I'm gonna list... the benefits or the good of being on a diet. I'm going to list the cost or the consequences of being on a diet. And then what they're going to do is they're going to take a step forward and they're going to say, well, what are the benefits of not being on a diet? And they are going to go to another side and they're going to list what are the costs of not being on a diet. So it kind of gives them some room to basically say, why am I not, and why do I want to be? And it kind of gives them the opportunity to see, why is it so hard to make this decision? what's going on with me? Am I crazy? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here and I've told myself 20 million times that I'm going to do something, but why is it that it's not working out? Why is it that something's going on? And hopefully during this period of time when this person writes this list out, the cost of and the benefits of not and the cost of not, they're going to find that there's a lot of I want to, but I don't want to, and but why do I want to? And what you're going to see is you're going to see a person that may write, for instance,
they come to their own conclusion.
They really do. They come to their own conclusion, but what they're going to see is they're going to see a lot of contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to see that they want it, but they don't want it. So I don't want this person in my life, but then again, I don't want to be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and there, from that basis, then you can go on and you can say, okay, you know, now that you have your list written out, what seems the best decision for you?
Mm-hmm.
And so based off of what you think is the best decision for you, it's basically, that's the best decision for me. And if it's not the best decision for you, so what can we do? What kind of skills can we acquire to manage these things?
Right.
And
this is like an eye opener for many.
It really is. You'd be really surprised how people, when you think about thoughts, you think that, you know, you don't really think about your thoughts. You don't sit there and say, huh, well, you know what, I'm thinking this way because, you know, because I don't want to be lonely. But when you have the time to really sit down and really write these things out, a lot of people are kind of like really amazed by what they write and what they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, they're very hesitant to do it. They're very hesitant to do it for many different reasons. You know, to really actually sit there and think about why you're in the situation that you're in or why you do what you do. It's sometimes that can be scary. That itself can cause you some type of depression or some type of an anxiety. You know, that itself can foster a lot of different things in an individual. And then again, we go back to the stages of change, and we find ourselves people doing certain things, and we ask ourselves, why do they do that? Why do they continue to do that?
So going back, once they do one of those activities,
mm-hmm.
they might be, you know, before they do the activity, that, you know, cost benefit or the what was the first one, the pros and cons.
Pros and cons, yes.
They might be in the pre-contemplative, and after they're done with the activity, they might move to the contemplative stage.
Yeah.
It might help them.
Yeah.
Move towards the stages.
Sure. Yeah. And most definitely, the person that is going to be in the real pre-contemplative phase is going to be reluctant to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be very reluctant to sit down there and analyze
situations.
But once
they do it, and they realize,
mm-hmm.
they might be in the move towards, hopefully they move towards that contemplative change.
Sure. And that's the beauty of working with a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have maybe one or two individuals that are kind of in pre-contemplative phase about doing something, you can actually get certain people that are in the contemplative phase actually doing the work out loud, such as on the board, and that can automatically open a person's eyes and say, wow, you know. Yeah, pre-contemplation, not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because once you open up your eyes, it's kind of hard to just really basically go back and close mm-hmm. them and say that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just...
Yeah. One more?
Sure.
One more tool before
sure.
we...
Sure, sure. The ABC model. ABC model is
that ABC?
Actually, it is. It is. You know, it goes all the way to E. it's developed by Albert Ellis, and what Mr. Ellis believed was that basically people react off of what their beliefs are. They don't really initially react based off of what's going on. They just react based off of their beliefs. And But however, a lot of people that have these beliefs, their initial belief is really irrational. And what he says is that basically, if you get a person down and sit a person down and you say, okay, let's really think this out, really, what happened? So the A stands for the activating event, and you get a person to say, okay, well, what happened? What exactly happened? Okay, so what did you believe about what happened? You know, what was going through your mind? And a lot of times people will sit there and say, I don't know.
Give us an example of like an activating event.
An activating event could be, for instance, a person being arrested for drunk driving.
Mm-hmm.
A belief could be possibly the person believing that they should not be treated this way or be arrested for just having a few drinks. So they're completely missing the entire picture. They're mainly focusing on just the main thing at hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being arrested, and I shouldn't be arrested. And a lot of people don't really understand that when you sit down and you listen to a person, you actually really hear what they're really thinking and what they really believe in. And the consequences ultimately for the belief is basically you get a person that actually feels really angry, frustrated, and is actually likely to be possibly aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And
might do it again.
It might do it again. Exactly.
Because they don't believe that
it's a problem.
It was a problem, and they shouldn't have been arrested.
Sure. So what we do is it goes on into D, and the D part of it is when a person actually disputes actually what they're thinking. So initially you would say, you know what, this person really has to be in like a contemplative phase to do this, because you know they really can't do this in a pre-contemplative
mm-hmm.
phase, because they're not even acknowledging it all whatsoever anyways.
Yeah.
So
how dare they arrest me?
exactly. You know, or a young teenager possibly thinking that he's inadequate, worthless as a human being without a certain person in his life, and therefore considering himself to be very hopeless and thinking that possibly a drug overdose is the best solution. You know, and what it is that, well, let's kind of think, is that actually really, the dispute part of it is actually really thinking, well, you know, really think about what you're saying. You know, are you really worthless without this person? You know, for instance, the drunk driver, you know, really, what happened? What caused you to be here in this situation today? You know, oh, well, I had a few drinks. Well, really, they arrest people for having a few drinks? You know, and them saying, well, no, you know, I was driving down the road. Oh, really? Wow, so having a few drinks and driving down the road really doesn't seem to be a problem, right? And the person saying, well, you know what?
I got arrested.
Yeah, I got arrested. And then again, that can be an excellent tool. But then again, therefore, sometimes it could utilize the services of probably a counselor, a supportive person,
mm-hmm.
To kind of assist that. Because like I said,
but a person can go through this on their own. You know,
sure.
Go through the ABCs. Okay, what was the action? What is my belief?
Sure.
What is the consequence?
Sure. They can actually do it on their own. They can.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, when you do receive some type of services through via behavioral health, they're actually showing you how to do these models on your own. And they're not hiding something from you and saying, look, you know what, I'm gonna do something and it's gonna be magic. No, we are educating people about the interventions that we're doing, and we're saying, look, this is how it's done, and I'm gonna do it with you. I'm gonna model it for you. And we're going to do it a couple of times because I know it can be frustrating in the beginning. However, it's something that might or that will play a big, big picture in your life,
mm-hmm.
and can help you resolve a lot of the frustrations and keep away from being so aggravated at other people and about certain situations. And like I said, it's all in the perception.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing what your perception is and how it's affecting you.
So in the model, the ABC model, is there's the A, the B, the C, the D.
And the E.
And what is E?
And the E is the new effective. It's a more effective way of believing. So basically what the person would say is, oh, well, I disputed that. So what are some better ways of really thinking about the situation? So if it ever arises, if it ever comes about again, it is what can I really think about the situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, okay, you know what? You're right. You know, I'm doing something completely wrong. I'm driving while I'm under the influence. You know, it's wrong. You know, and or a person believing, you know what? I'm not really hopeless or worthless without this person. I'm actually a really good person, and I deserve better and just as much as the next person. And they really get to be able to really kind of journalize that,
mm-hmm.
see it. And not only do they write it down and throw it away, but hopefully they're keeping it. So if anything does come up in the future, they're able to basically refer back to it and say, you know what? I am a good person. I am a worthwhile person. I'm positive affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm you know, positive self-talk.
There's so many tools.
There is.
And you teach all of these during that week.
During that week, yes, and it's quite rapid. It's quite quick. It's very limited time to do this. However, one thing that I always tell the participants is, you know what? If we really need to stop somewhere, and digest something, if there's any if there's some confusion, we'll stop. We'll stop right there, and we'll say, hey, you know what? Let's discuss this further.
Well, Dominic, thank you for coming. Phone number, if you have any participants right now that are in CalWORKS or they're going to go and
sure.
go to social services to get some assistance, how can they contact or how can they get into these classes?
Sure. What they can do is they can contact their social worker or the CalWORKS department, or they can contact me via phone, 336-4056, area code 760, and that is my number. Believe me, I'm more than happy to see anybody who's willing to come through the door.
Well, Dominic, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We're going to have to bring you more so we can talk more about more tools.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And thank you for listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's talk about it. And don't forget, the fair is still going on. You know, it's a family event. Just have fun with your kids. Eat lots of corn dogs, you know, and lots of candy, cotton candy.
Yes. I'm taking my kids actually this weekend.
Yeah. I'm going tonight, actually.
Oh, great, yeah.
So have fun and enjoy yourself and be safe. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Satellite Radio Bilingüe. In California, we are KSJV Fresno and K233 AVFM Paso Robles, KMPO Modesto, KTQX Bakersfield, KHDC Chular Salinas, KUVO Calexico El Centro, KVUH Laytonville, KERU Blythe, KVYA Cedarville in Iowa, KWIT HD3 Sioux City, KOJI Okoboji, KALA HD2 Davenport, and K291 BT Bettendorf. In Kansas, KRPS 2 Pittsburgh. In North Carolina, WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. In Washington, we are KSVR Mount Vernon, KSVU Hamilton, and in Wyoming, KOCA Laramie.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUVO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingüe. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.